Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Got a great show for you here on a Monday. I'll break down James Wiseman's role as a rookie and where the Warriors rank in the West before answering one more question about a Bradley Beal trade. That's all coming up next.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I wrote a story for MercuryNews.com over the weekend about what James Wiseman's role as a rookie will be and their plan, the Warriors' plan, for his development. But I'll get to his development here in a second, but I talked to a number of people, Steve Kerr, Jaron Collins, who's the defensive assistant, now that Ron Adams is in more of a consulting role than a full-time assistant coach. So Jaron Collins heading up a lot of what James Wiseman will do his rookie year and putting together Golden State's defense this season. I talked with him, I talked with a number of people about his role in the near term, his immediate role, what they expect him to contribute as a rookie, and it basically amounts to this. Run the floor, roll to the rim, get rebounds, be large. That's it. All of this stuff about him being a next generation type center, about him, I've seen in my comments here about him being more of a point center because people think he can handle the ball. All of that stuff, relax. I'm not saying he can't do it. He's just not going to do it now. Right now, imagine JaVale McGee on offense, Zaza Pachulia on defense. That's what I keep saying. He needs, on offense, set screens and run to the rim. When you're in transition, he's going to help this sort of 7 seconds or less Warriors offense that I talked about in the mailbag on Friday. He's going to be a big part of that because he's already one of the fastest centers in the league. He's one of the fastest seven-footers in the NBA. So that's going to be helpful for him too and for the Warriors. So in transition, run the floor. On offense, set hard screens, roll to the rim. He's a potential lob threat for when Steph and Draymond are in pick and roll. And without Klay Thompson now, well, there's going to be a whole lot more missed shots, right? And so he's going to have a huge opportunity to clean up the boards, the offensive rebounds. That's going to be a big part of his game, too. They need him to do that. The Warriors rank near the bottom of the league in rim protection and in rebounding percentage. James Wiseman's going to help them, presumably, in both of those areas. Now, only if they, defensively, if they ask him to hang back on defense. Why I say Zaza Pachulia on defense? He's not going to be getting out and switching like Kevon Looney has. I think initially he's going to just hang, he's going to drop back in coverage, keep his body near the basket, and just try to deflect shots. Now, there's some things that the Warriors are trying to work out. In three games at Memphis, he had a propensity to chase blocks, and he picked up fouls. He can't do that at the NBA level. He can't be chasing blocks and picking up early and getting into early foul trouble. So they're going to try to iron that out. I think you may see him switch a little bit here and there because teams are going to force him into those situations. But look, he's practiced that over the summer. Since he left Memphis, he's been practicing switching onto guards. He played some pickup games in Miami. He switched onto guys like John Wall and D'Angelo Russell. He said he was comfortable. But that, what he said and what he can do at the NBA level are two very different things. Even what he did in the summer against NBA players and what he can do in an NBA game are two very different things. And so what Jaron Collins told me was that they will determine in training camp how much of switching they will actually allow him or ask him to do. Because in training camp, in those scrimmages, they'll put him through those tests. They're going to put him through it. They're going to test him early and see what they can get out of him. Because that's the only way to know what you can get out of him. He hasn't played in more than a year. They don't know. They just have an idea. And that's why they drafted him number two overall. It's because they like the idea of what he can become. But what he could do immediately is going to be largely dependent on how he performs in training camp. And so for me, that's my biggest question in training camp. What does James Wiseman look like? What can they expect of him as a rookie? At minimum, like I said, JaVale McGee on offense, Zaza Pachulia on defense. But how much of this potential can he begin to tap into? In training camp and over the course of the regular season, how much can he tap into? That, more than anything, could determine Golden State's ceiling this season. You know what you're going to get from Steph. We have an idea of what Draymond Green is going to be at 30, 31 years old. I think Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre could make marginal improvements to their game, but I don't think you're expecting any sort of dramatic leap in either of their developments. I think at best you can expect maybe a little bit more efficiency from those guys. James Wiseman is the biggest unknown with the biggest upside on this roster. And they're going to find out in training camp. And we'll know by the way they talk about him, by their tone, whether or not they're really excited about it, or maybe they're trying to temper expectations a little bit. So training camp is starting this week with individual workouts. Group workouts will be starting next week. After this, I want to talk about where the Warriors, now that the dust has settled on the offseason, where they rank in the Western Conference. But first, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions. But the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. Maybe you're done with your Thanksgiving feast, you're trying to get through those leftovers, maybe you just don't have room for those leftovers anymore, maybe you just can't deal with the leftovers anymore. Instead of going after that stuffing and all and the mashed potatoes and the macaroni and all this stuff that you may have left over from Thanksgiving, you want to do something healthy, just grab a Built Bar and get through your day. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Don't miss the mailbag every Friday here on Locked On Warriors when I hit a bunch of topics based on questions that you guys ask me. You can submit those questions in time for Friday's episode to my Twitter account at WC Goldberg or email them to WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. I want to talk about where the Warriors rank in the Western Conference. Before the Klay Thompson injury, I would have had them in the top four versus after the Klay Thompson injury and how things shook out in free agency. They did not land the big name that they had hoped with the mid-level exception, in part due to Klay Thompson's injury. They would have been in the mix for Marc Gasol, I think, had Klay not gotten hurt, and if maybe they hadn't drafted James Wiseman, but I think either way they would have been looking at a guy like Marc Gasol. I think they were interested in guys like Serge Ibaka, Aaron Baines, and stuff like that, but Gasol would have been the number one target. Danilo Gallinari said he wanted to play for a contender rather than take the money. He quickly took the money from Atlanta, which is not a contender in the Eastern Conference. So I guess that was more ideological by Gallinari or whatever it was. But he was going to go take the, he ended up just taking the money regardless, for an undefined role in Atlanta, by the way. But you know, I thought the Warriors had a decent, if not predictable, offseason. They go ahead and use the trade exception on Kelly Oubre, who was long a target circled by Warriors fans, right? He wasn't a crazy name. It wasn't a creative acquisition, a solid one, even if not creative. I thought it was interesting. Steve Kerr told me last week, again, in a Q&A posted at mercurynews.com that you can go and read, that he didn't think that they would have used the trade exception had it on Kelly Oubre or otherwise had it not been for Klay's injury. That they probably would have just used the mid-level exception on somebody else. Now, you'd like to think if it plays out differently, if Klay Thompson never gets hurt, if he never tears the Achilles, do they just try to use the mid-level exception on Marc Gasol and have a starting five of Steph, Klay, Wiggins, Draymond Green, Marc Gasol, and then, you know, you bring a guy like, you know, James Wiseman, you could still draft him. You bring him off the bench. Maybe you trade Kevon Looney in another deal or something like that. You've got Marquise Chris still there as a reliable option. Yeah, now you don't have the mid-level exception to use on a guy like Brad Wanamaker, but you could still go out and get Kent Bazemore. You've got to wonder if Glenn Robinson III, who was just signed to the Sacramento Kings over the weekend as on a partial guarantee minimum deal or something like that, like on a surprising turn of events, because I thought Glenn Robinson could have helped a lot of different teams. You've got to wonder if he thought that there was something lined up with the Warriors there at the minimum to return. This is just speculation by me. I have done zero reporting on this. I probably should, but you got to wonder if he thought that there was something happening there with the Warriors and it never materialized, and that's why he ended up hanging out in the wind in free agency. Again, just speculation on my part, but you could see how maybe that could have been the new offseason plan. You go after Marcus Gasol with the mid-level, you plug him into your starting five, and then you have a bench unit of Wiseman, Kent Bazemore, and maybe Glenn Robinson comes off the bench for you too. Maybe it was something like that. Maybe Jeremy Lin is more of an option if you don't get Brad Wanamaker. I don't know. Is that better than where the Warriors are right now? I think certainly that would be. But I still think the Warriors are a playoff team. And I want to now rank the Western Conference. And it starts at the top with the Lakers. I think they're a tier to their own with LeBron and Anthony Davis anchoring a group that now has Marc Gasol, took Montrezl Harrell from their biggest competition, the Clippers. I thought the Dennis Schroeder thing was a really nice move from there. I'm still a little bullish on Kyle Kuzma, by the way. I was really impressed with what he did in the bubble. If he can keep doing that versus what he was in the regular season, that's a huge upgrade just at that one player for them, if Kuzma takes that step. And so a lot of people have the Lakers and the Clippers as 1A, 1B. I have the Lakers in a tier by themselves as number one, and I have the Clippers as a distant second. Again, it goes back to why I always liked the Lakers last year. I like all the moves that they made this offseason, but it still comes down to LeBron James and Anthony Davis make each other better. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George do not. They don't. And I can't rely on them. I can't rely on them to make each other better. I don't know what Paul George is in the playoffs. I don't think that they address the right needs. They go out and get Serge Ibaka. That's nice. They needed a ball handler to take pressure off of Lou Williams, who could stay on the floor in the last 5 minutes of a game. Or not off the pressure off Lou Williams. The pressure off of Kawhi Leonard, unlike Lou Williams. So Lou Williams can't be on the floor in the last 5 minutes of the game because he's taken advantage of defensively. They needed a guy who's stout enough on defense who can, take the ball handling pressure off of Kawhi. I wonder if they still have a move to make. Do they go out and get a flyer on a Spencer Dinwiddie? Do they have the pieces necessary to go after a Kyle Lowry if Toronto decides to blow it up by midseason? I don't think they can do the Lowry thing, but can they get a Dinwiddie? Can they go get Derrick Rose? Can they do something like that? If they manage to make a move like that, then I would put them back into a tier with the Lakers 1A, 1B. But for now, they're in a second tier by themselves. And then the third tier, again by themselves, are the Denver Nuggets. I think that's the clear top three, but then there's also a clear separation among those three. With Denver, if Jamal Murray really takes this superstar leap, then you could argue, I think, they could be close to the Clippers. Because even if their two superstars aren't as good in a vacuum as Kawhi and Paul George, I think they make each other better. Jokic and Jamal Murray make each other much better. And if you're ranking those four players, it's Kawhi, Jokic, and if Jamal Murray makes that leap, I don't think that there's that much of a difference between Paul George and Jamal Murray, if he indeed makes that superstar leap. But they lost some players. They lost Jeremy Grant. So I've got them. I don't know who defends guys like Kawhi and LeBron on the perimeter now, if not for Jeremy Grant. I think that's a big loss for them. Even though I agree that they shouldn't have paid him $20 million a year, they're going to have to fill that void somehow. I don't know if Michael Porter Jr. is that answer. So I've got the Lakers, Clippers, and the Nuggets. That's my top three. And then in another bracket, below those three, I've got six teams. And this is what the Western Conference playoff race, I think, is going to come down to here. I've got six teams. I've got Portland, who I thought had a really nice offseason. And by the way, I think they stacked enough assets where they can make a move by the way. I still think the Trailblazers, watch them. I think they are one more trade away. I like them for DeMar DeRozan. Again, just speculation on my part, but I think they have a move to make this offseason. I should say in the regular season, if they start off the regular season strong and they like their playoff chances, I could see them making a move like the Heat did last year when Miami traded for Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder. I think the Trailblazers could be in a similar boat. If they like how things are going with a healthy Yusuf Nurkic, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum coming back, if they like where things are going, I think they have one more move to make where they could take an asset like an Anthony Simons or a Zach Collins and make a win-now move, which they should. They should be making a win-now move. Damian Lillard is at his peak. He is in his prime. It's time to make win-now moves. I've got Utah there. I think they're solid still. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, those are your anchors. Mike Conley coming back. He should have a better year than he did in his first year in Utah. I still have them there. You can count on a top 10 defense with this group. They're just reliable. They're deep. And so I have them there. And then I have the Mavericks with Luka Doncic. He keeps carrying this team. I like their moves over the offseason. I like the Josh Richardson acquisition. I think that helps them on defense. It helps them with some more ball creativity on offense. I've still got the Houston Rockets. They still have, by the way, James Harden. And I quietly like their offseason. Getting a guy like Christian Wood is going to be a nice front court partner with him. PJ Tucker is still there. Look, when you have Harden, it's so hard to miss the playoffs when you have James Harden. I don't like their playoff chances, but in the regular season, they're in this group as long as they have Harden. If they trade Harden, obviously everything changes there. And look, they could trade Westbrook and become a much better team. So if they get the right players who fit better with Harden, but right now I have the Rockets there, and then I have the Suns and the Warriors also in this group. The Warriors and the Suns, two teams with singular stars, Chris Paul for the Suns, obviously Steph for the Warriors. Both teams are deep, even though I think the Warriors are slightly more deep than Phoenix. I think they're right in the mix to be a playoff team. I almost had the Suns in this next tier, but maybe I'm buying what I saw in the bubble a little bit too much, but I like the development of guys. The Suns, I shouldn't have said a singular star. They have Devin Booker and Chris Paul. So they have these two top 20 guys, two top 25 guys. I like that. I like the Warriors' depth a little bit more than I like Phoenix's. So I have those two teams rounding out this sort of group of six that's in this fourth tier in the West, which I think by then, you've got these six teams, seven with the Nuggets, eight for the Clippers, nine with the Lakers. You're already past your allotment of playoff teams. Now, these teams are going to make up probably the wild card. You're going to extend the wild card a little bit, and those teams will probably be a part of it. But of those teams I already have talked about, one of them is going to miss the playoffs. And it's probably going to be due to the wild card round at the end of the regular season. For the rest of the West, I've got the Pelicans and the Grizzlies in a tier just below them. If Zion takes a leap, if Ja Morant take a leap, and they can sort of make up enough of a leap to make up for the lack of depth on those teams, the Pelicans losing Drew Holiday is a big deal. I think that they could take a leap into that next tier, but for now I have him here. And then I think the Spurs, the Kings, and the Timberwolves are going to be somewhere between 7 the 10th, 11th, 12th best record in the Western Conference. And then I have the Thunder at the very bottom, tanking just in time for Cade Cunningham, by the way. I have them last right now in the Western Conference. We'd open up the mail next. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. Also, listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today wherever you get podcasts. Daryl writes in, if Bradley Beal goes out on the trade market, how much interest do you think the Warriors will have, and which players do you think that they are willing to let go? I think he's a perfect match to go along with the Splash Brothers and with Draymond, a better shot creator than Klay. We'll take the load off of Steph to make plays. If given a chance, I think the Warriors should do everything to pull the trigger on this trade. Imagine Beal with the core of Steph, Klay, Draymond Green, and James Wiseman. Well, first of all, Daryl, if the Warriors are going to get involved in Bradley Beal, it's going to cost them James Wiseman. Right? It's going to cost them the Minnesota pick. It's going to cost them probably a future pick in 2027, maybe a pick swap along the way. It's going to cost them James Wiseman, absolutely. The Wizards will ask for Wiseman. And it's probably going to cost them another salary. Maybe it's Andrew Wiggins. Maybe it's Klay Thompson. Maybe it's Draymond Green. It's going to cost them one of those types of salaries. But I would probably go. I don't know if I would do that for Bradley Beal, honestly. I think a lot of people like the Bradley Beal fit on offense. Yeah, he probably is better than Klay Thompson, weirdly enough, next to Steph. Because I think Daryl's right. He's a better shot. He's a better ball handler than Klay is. And now having lost, before you just wanted Klay Thompson. Now having lost Andre Iguodala and Kevin Durant and guys like that over the last 2 years, I think you would want a guy who can handle the ball a little bit more and is young enough to maybe take more and more pressure off of Steph going forward. But defensively, he's not nearly what Klay was. Now, what Klay is after this Achilles tear, I don't know. But he's not what Klay was on defense. And I still think you need a strong, defender in that backcourt next to Steph. And Bradley Beal is not bad, but he's not Klay. And he's not all-NBA level. I think you need that kind of player. Really, really high level, at least. I don't know that Beal is that, especially if you're going to be now asking him to do all this stuff on offense. So, I would probably stop short of mortgaging the entire future on Bradley Beal. I may not do that. If I'm going to mortgage the future, it's going to have to be for a player just a notch above Bradley Beal who projects to be better 4 or 5 years from now. At that point, Beal might be out of his prime. I think you're trying to toe the line here. A guy to me that makes sense is Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. Those are the kind of players I would go all in on. I don't know that those guys are available, but just like Daryl asked, if Bradley Beal becomes available, would you throw the kitchen sink at him? I probably wouldn't if I'm the Warriors. I would for Ben Simmons. I would for Joel Embiid. If I can get Rudy Gobert for a little bit less, I might think about it. But for now, no. I'm not sure I would do it for Beal. I'm not sure. It seems like safe and clean on its face, but I just don't know that it accomplishes what the Warriors need to accomplish, given that they don't have that many assets. They really don't. They've got Wiseman, they've got the Minnesota pick, but their own 2021 pick is now owed to Oklahoma City, if it's top 20 protected. They can't trade that right now. I mean, they could trade it for picks. You could trade it for picks 21 through 30, but I don't know that that's that valuable of an asset. So, yeah. I don't know if I would mortgage the entire future on Bradley Beal at this point. I think you need somebody who projects to be a little bit better long-term and whose relationship with Steph could be a little bit more symbiotic. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thank you to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.